Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Alright, here we are again. It's Monday night. Boy, these Monday nights come around fast, don't they? We're going to, as we advertise today, suspend the Article 5 show for 1 week, maybe two, to talk about something exciting that's coming to Missouri. There is a group that has been formed for about a year called Replace Roy Blunt. It was not attracting much attention until very recently, and with the vote for cloture, with Roy Blunt's vote supporting Obamacare. Yes, I know some of you are shocked, some of you are amazed, some of you are even surprised, but Roy Blunt is in favor of Obamacare. With Roy Blunt's vote in favor of Obamacare, this group's membership has explosively risen, like 300% in 2 days. So we're going to deal with that a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about it. We're going to try to get that name out there and see if we can't make that 600% or 800% or 1,000%. Understand now that the mission of this group is to primary Roy Blunt out. Have to excuse me for a moment there. I had a little something come up that took me away from the mic for about 2 seconds, but I'm back. We're going to primary out Roy Blunt. Now, that's a primary mission. I'm hearing from some fairly reliable sources that Uncle Roy won't seek re-election. That actually makes a little bit of sense to me, given the recalcitrance with which he's conducted himself in the last couple of years. So that's all right. That's all right. If he comes up to the last minute and announces that he's not going to seek re-election, we will already have a candidate ready to shine in the primaries. So we keep going exactly the way we're going. We keep vetting candidates. We narrow that list down. We find a candidate who is a good candidate to replace Roy in the United States Senate, and we move on from there. It's not going to be a wasted effort if Uncle Roy decides not to run. So that's what we're going to deal with tonight. I just wanted to get any of the regular listeners that are here for the Article 5 show up to speed on what's going on. Now, I think we might do this one more week, depending on how tonight goes. And then we're going to, Missouri Grassroots Radio is going to actually take one of its open nights. That'll be either Thursday, Friday, or Sunday. And I'm voting for Thursday and dedicate that to the Replace Roy group. So coming maybe next week, at least by the week after that, there will be a two-hour dedicated show per week to promote this Replace Roy group to get some membership drive going. Now, where's this Replace Roy group at? The activity in the last 48 hours has been at frenzied level. Already, committees are starting to form for fundraising, and in those committees are some very successful and adept fundraisers, PAC organizers. So we're anxious about that, and we're cautiously optimistic that some significant funds will be available. We've started organizing groups for outreach. That is to get the message out. That is to lead the way for door knockers and phone callers. We have people coming along for those committees who are very, very versed in how that gets done, who have a lot of experience in that area. We have some face-to-face meetings of the leadership of this group set up and going. The executive committees are being formed and speaking. We have a Facebook page for all of you who are interested. That Facebook page is Replace Roy Blunt, the Undocumented Democrat. That's not part of the title, the Undocumented Democrat. That's actually a term that I borrowed from someone on the senator's own page today. Go to Senator Roy Blunt's Facebook page and see. I mean, the outcry is horrendous there. People are really pissed off about this. And that brings us to the next point. What do we do here in this group, Replace Roy? Well, the challenge right now, folks, is to keep the fever on. Roy Blunt is counting on the law of recency. And if you're not familiar with what the law of recency is, that means that only the most recent things stick in people's heads. At the Oscars, you know, who has the best chance? It's the movie that came out a month ago and not the movie that came out 11 months ago. It always works that way. It's a what have you done for me lately thing, and it's rampant in the voting public. Roy's counting on that. He is counting on the fact that 4 years from now, 3 years from now, 3 years from now, when you go to the polls, this will all be forgotten. It worked last time. I mean, we had just 12 months before the election a huge furor over the increase in the debt ceiling, which Roy Blunt and his Democratic friends went right along with. We had a huge uproar about the NDAA and the drone strikes on American citizens, which Roy and his Democratic friends were totally in favor of. And yet, because there was some time in between those incidents and the election, Roy slid through on a landslide. But let's not get too complacent here. That's going to be the challenge for this group, Replace Roy. It's going to be to keep this thing at a fever pitch, keep this thing fresh in people's minds, and that's not going to be an easy job. Now, the next major obstacle is going to be finding a candidate. And I'm already seeing things like we need to draft this guy, we need to recruit that guy, we need to be out recruiting candidates, and I'm here to tell you this. Forget about drafting and forget about recruiting, okay? It doesn't have to be a lawmaker with lawmaking experience. It can be a citizen. But it's got to be a person with some established name recognition. And it's got to, this is the important part here, it's got to be a person who steps up to the plate, not a person who's drafted and not a person who's recruited. It's got to be a person who says, I am an American first and a Republican second or third or fourth. It has got to be someone who understands from the get-go that win or lose, they are done in the Republican Party. It's got to be a person who's willing to take that on. The Republican establishment, if you beat Roy Blunt, is going to treat you exactly the way they're treating Ted Cruz right now. That's just the way it's going to be. So if you're out there listening, if you're an established Republican, if you've got some name recognition, but you're not willing to step up to the plate and say, I'm going to put it all on the line to make America work again, then you're not the person that we're looking for. Okay, we're going to get right into this after we do a little news. The House is meeting right now to decide what to do about the Senate passing the ball back their way. Now, someone call in here, 347-677-1835. That's our number, 347-677-1835. Someone who knows how things work procedurally in the House of Representatives, because I don't. I've got a friend who tutors me all the time in how the rules of the house work. And he's not here right now. Someone who knows how things work, call and tell me why this isn't being done the way it's always been done in the past. Well, I don't mean always in the past, because these omnibus continuing resolutions have kind of been the thing for the last 6 or 7 years. But you do remember, don't you, the days when authorizations, appropriations were done by cabinet, by department, even by line. Why isn't the House of Representatives saying, okay, here's your funding for defense, take it or leave it. Okay, here's your funding for education, take it or leave it. Okay, here's your funding for food stamps, take it or leave it. Okay, here's your funding for Medicaid, take it or leave it. Why isn't it being done like that? Why isn't the thing being done? And then let the Democrats say, no, we don't want any funding for Medicaid. No, we don't want any funding for food stamps. No, we don't want any funding for the Department of Defense. I'm not understanding why that isn't being done that way. And someone surely can explain that to me, a political neophyte in Schoolhouse Rock terms, because I don't get it. Elsewhere in the news, the new fiscal cliff is already looming. On October 17th, the government is going to run out of borrowed money, and the president is already talking about the first ever default. We talked about this on both our shows last week, and I want to reiterate this, and I'm going to talk about this at every show, at least between now and when disaster overtakes us and we agree to borrow another $3 trillion. This is fairly simple to understand, so don't think you're going to get lost, okay? You go to work, you get paid. Out of your paycheck, an amount of money is withheld, and that's sent to Washington, D.C. You with me so far? That money that comes out of your paycheck, and the money that comes out of my paycheck, and the money that comes out of all the other paychecks, and the money that comes from corporate taxes, and the money that's collected on excise taxes, the money that's collected on fuel taxes and cigarette taxes, that's all right now money. That all goes to the Department of Treasury, and with that money, the government recognizes a steady income stream of $200 billion a month. Now, I say that's an average. Some months it's $203 billion, some months it's $198 billion, but the government recognizes an income stream of $200 billion a month. Now, the only thing that the government is constitutionally required to fund is service on the debt. They ought to fund the defense of the nation. So there's two things that you could put in the "we have to do this" column. And those two things come out to $105 billion a month. Now, feel free to add on $4.4 billion per month to continue funding Social Security checks and Medicaid. What you're left with is $6 billion a month that has to be prioritized. Okay, now sit down at your family table and do this exercise, okay? You got so much money coming in. There are some things you have to pay. You have to pay the mortgage. You have to pay the utilities. And you have to buy your kids food. Okay, then there's some money left over. Okay, you got your vacation to Disneyland, you got your cable TV, you got your second car, you've got your 4 times a week eating out, you got the babysitter for those 4 times a week. Okay, now there's not enough money to do all that. So what you have to do is you have to pick and choose. You have to say, okay, let's skip the 4 nights a week out and the babysitter, and let's get a used car instead of a new car for the second car, let's go to Branson instead of Disneyland for the vacation, and let's completely eliminate the cable TV and just go with over-the-air TV. Or you could, I mean, you could rearrange that any way you want to. You can skip the vacation completely and have a nice new car. You can keep the cable TV and let the 4 nights a week out go. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. And that's the point. That's the point. With this money that's left, someone's going to choose between the $105,000 a year dog handler at the White House, Yellowstone National Park, and Johnny's flu shot. Someone's going to choose between a study of the mating habit of the Norwegian rat and a veteran's pension check. Someone's going to choose between all this crazy crap that go between the president's next vacation and the VA hospital down the street. So if the president gets to keep his dog handler, and if the study on the Norwegian rat mating habits and the president's next vacation come off and the VA hospital closes, someone made that choice. It didn't have anything to do with not borrowing enough money. Someone made that choice. Someone set those priorities. That's the way that's going to work. If we don't borrow money. If we don't borrow money, suddenly we have to live on $200 billion a month with half to pay bills of about $105. With $95 billion of surplus after we pay the half to pay bills. Someone is going to make those choices. So there it is. If we are fortunate enough that the government does not agree to borrow more money, and you see the VA hospital close, someone made that choice. Because if the VA hospital closes, I'll guarantee you it's because President Obama got to keep his $105,000 a year dog handler in the White House and gets to keep his next vacation, and that the study on the Norwegian rat mating habits continues. Big Bird lives and Grandma dies. That's a choice someone makes. Okay, one more thing in the news. I had to look this up because I forgot what I'd written down. And this kind of dovetails on number one, the government shutdown. J.P. Morgan said today that the shutdown will have no impact on the economy unless it lasts more than a few weeks. So I saw something. I'm going to get this wrong. I believe it was Gina Loudon's Twitter today, but someone tweeted, President Barack Obama said, don't shut down the government, don't shut down the economy. Did you get that? Don't shut down the government, don't shut down the economy. The President of the United States thinks the government is the economy. The economy of the United States is you going to work today. The economy of the United States is me buying my groceries tomorrow. The economy of the United States is Johnny buying a pack of bubble gum. None of that's going to stop because the government shuts down. None of that. You know, my employer and me, we have an agreement, and we don't give a crap whether there's anybody working in Washington, D.C. or not. My grocer is going to sell groceries to me tomorrow, whether there's anybody working in Washington, D.C. or not. The economy of the United States is not going to falter if the halls of the Capitol are abandoned except for the ghost of Robert Burr running around in there slobbering all over himself. That's just the way that goes. So let's all just take a breath. Let's all just deal with the real facts. Let's all just handle some truth. I'll be back in a minute.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
There's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. Good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature.
If you, who make less than $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime.
Hello, it's Dave, and I'm here to tell you that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, we talk about the fair tax on The Fair Tax Show. That's Saturday night at 7 o'clock on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We explode the myths, we tell the truth, we get to the bottom of this tax code that ought to be the one to replace the IRS. Get involved in the discussion. Learn everything there is to learn. 347-677-1835, Saturday, 7 o'clock p.m., Missouri Grassroots Radio.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any method at all.
We're back. Isn't that little soundbite I have there as an intro? Isn't that just perfect? A perfect detail of Washington D.C. I don't see any method at all, sir. That's Martin Sheen, Apocalypse Now. I love that. So anyway, we got a chat incoming while you were away. While I was away, actually, you were hopefully still here. From a friend who says, who reminds me one more time that it's impossible to recall a federal senator. First of all, let me say that replace Roy Blunt is not about recalling Roy Blunt. It's about, as we said earlier, primarying him out at the next election. Unelecting a senator is currently, and unfortunately, the only way you can get rid of one from the state of Missouri. We have no constitutional device available to recall a U.S. senator. Now, 11 states do have such a device in their state constitution. It's never been tried. I'd be anxious for us to be the first to try it, but that's a whole different argument. Where there is a move on now by Missouri Grassroots Coalition and a couple of other groups to do two things separately. One is to introduce by initiative a constitutional amendment to allow for the recall of state legislators. That has gained tremendous momentum after the veto session, where a lot of people came away disappointed that a veto-proof Republican majority couldn't work for the people. And a separate one to garner a constitutional amendment by initiative to allow for the recall of federal legislators. What happens there, though, is, and why I say that's never been tried before, is because both the House and the Senate have made it clear that they will consider an attempt to recall a United States legislator unconstitutional and will challenge it in court. So that's a long road. First of all, you've got to work to get the Missouri State Constitution amended. That's a long road. I would suggest that we first try, well, that we simultaneously begin a initiative petition to get this on the ballot, this constitutional amendment. But I would suggest that at the same time we try for the quicker route, which would be to get the legislature in the next session to propose the initiative, the constitutional amendment, and get it done that way. That would be a faster way to get it to the ballot. I'm confident that we wouldn't get enough signatures if we started the petition drive now to make an initiative we could present to the legislature in the next session to get voted it has to happen, but to get it onto the ballot even this year. Then we've got to actually do it. After we get the constitutional amendment, then we've got to circulate whatever the procedure is in the amendment, and that still needs to be worked out. We've got to make that procedure work to actually initiate the recall and to get a ballot date set for that. We have to have that ballot date set before the U.S. Congress would have standing to challenge it. And then once that happens, it would be docketed into the Supreme Court. And from there, we would have a hearing, and the Supreme Court would decide that we could, in fact, do this. And then and only then could we go about beginning the process of recalling a senator. That's not going to get done in the next 4 years. So let's concentrate now on this second procedure for replacing a United States congressman, and that is to find a candidate to challenge him in a primary and to boot his ass out of Washington. That's what this group, Replace Roy Blunt, is about. It's not about a recall. It's not about getting the recall procedure set in the Missouri Constitution. There are other groups working on that now, so rest easy. It's not forgotten about, but everybody, including you, only has so much time and can only dedicate so much time to one or two causes. If you're an activist, you know how time-consuming just one cause like this is. I personally am quite involved in this Article 5 thing and am quite involved in the fair tax thing. I do two shows a week. And I'm not Sean Hannity or Mark Levin by a long shot in more ways than one, but I am not them in this way. This isn't a job for me. I still work 40 hours a week on an overnight, and so I'm taking the reins on this replace Roy thing only until we can firm up these committees, get this thing rolling, because I've got to get back to giving my time to the two causes that I'm already committed to. So I'm going to host this show tonight, and I'm going to host it next Monday night. Hopefully we'll get some excitement going with this. If we don't, then that'll be the end of the Replace Roy Blunt radio show and that blog talk show, and that probably will signify a quick end to the entire Replace Roy movement. I see we don't have any callers yet tonight, 347-677-1835. That's a little disappointing to me, as much jaw-moving as has been going on in this group in the last 48 hours. I thought for sure we'd have some players tonight. More than a little bit disappointed that we don't. I'm going to tell you that right now. Of course, this show will be available for podcast. People can come listen to it later. But it's very, very important that we participate with each other. That's why a forum like this is so important. If you can't give 2 hours one night a week, what the hell are you going to do when it's time to start knocking on doors and manning the phone banks? What are you going to do when it's time to start actually taking the gospel out to the streets? What are you going to do when it's time to start handing out leaflets and talking to people at work and actually spending some real time trying to get this thing done? I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll do this week and next week. We'll talk it up, and I'm gonna do my part during this 2 or 3 weeks of trying to keep this thing going and rolling. I'm going to be looking for leadership to emerge. I'm confident that we have some good leaders coming along, but that's not going to be enough. 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 good leaders isn't going to be enough. We're not even going to get this thing off the ground until we have 1,000 activists involved, 1,000 activists who really are activists, who are, as the name implies, active. So here we are sitting here now talking about replacing Roy Blunt, and we haven't had a single participant in the 34 minutes we've been here. I hope that's discouraging to you as it is to me. I doubt it is, or the phone lines would be lit up. What are we going to do? Probably nothing, it looks like. I want to talk for a minute off subject about something exciting that I fell on today. When I'm prepping for this show, I always turn on Blog Talk Radio, and I just fish around for whatever's live at the time and listen in. Once in a while, I even pick up a tidbit of something for tonight's show while I'm listening. And I stumbled today onto a Blog Talk show called Patriot Journalist, PJN, the Patriot Journalist Network. You can look these guys up at Patriot Journalist. Patriot Journalist, one word, of course. If you don't know how to spell journalist, it's JOURNALIST. Patriot Journalist. If you don't know how to spell Patriot, you're listening to the wrong show right now. That's for sure. You need to be watching a football game or something. PatriotJournalist.com. Look it up. Now, there's a couple of things going on there that are absolutely cool. These people have a Twitter flood going to Charlie Daniels to try to get Charlie to write and record a song about defunding Obamacare and standing behind Ted Cruz. I don't know. I think these two guys might be successful in this. the tweets were sailing through there today to Charlie Daniels, who it's my understanding actually reads his own tweets. I know that he would be politically inclined in that direction. I don't know that he would be artistically inclined in that direction. I think we're going to find out. These guys got it going. That's a patriotjournalist.com, and they're on, I know for a fact, Mondays at 2 o'clock our time here in Missouri on Blog Talk Radio, and I believe every other day at 7 p.m. I did spend a little time on air with them chatting, but I didn't get into the ifs and whys. It's 2 o'clock on Monday and 7 o'clock every other night. I'm sure if you became a regular listener that you'd find that out. But here's the other cool thing that they've got going on. If you are a member of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, that means you are a representative of some grassroots group somewhere in the state. A 912 club, a Tea Party club, a Women's Republican club, who knows, a fair tax group, whatever. A right to life groups are huge, whatever. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is be part of the Patriot cause and want to coordinate your efforts with others in the state to be a member of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. So if you are a member of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it would do you great to go here and sign up for patriotjournalist.com. These guys have an app there that is the coolest thing. It is so cool, I wish I'd thought of it. But it's an app that once your organization is joined, when you tweet something, it goes out to every other member of PJN. So it's like having all these followers without these folks have ever having to have come and physically followed you. It could like quintuple your followership in one fell swoop. In my case, I only had about 10 followers, so it probably increased my followership by 1,000%. It's great. And you also become a part of that network where you actually get tweets from these groups. You can follow these two guys that I ran into today on patriotjournalist.com at the hashtags American Refugee and the hashtag Data Genesis. I recommend you do that. It's American Refugee and Data Genesis. I'd follow those two guys. I would definitely, absolutely. Now, here's what you do. You go sign in to patriotjournalist.com and agree to the app. When you agree to the app, be logged into whichever Twitter account you want followed by this app. So, I mean, if you've got your own personal Twitter account, Joe, you've got your own personal Twitter account, Joe Jones, and you've got your club's Twitter account, Patriot America. You want to be logged into Twitter. I mean, there's no problem. I'm sure there's no problem with these guys for you going both ways, but you definitely want to be logged in to your Twitter account, Patriot America Club or whatever it is, when you agree to join this app. It will grab that Twitter handle, and that's it. That's all there is to it. Suddenly, your membership is retweeted out over the rest of the world. Everything you tweet from that point forward is tweeted out over to the rest of everybody in this in this organization. I mean, it is absolutely cool. I was getting emails and emails and emails within minutes of joining that said everything that I did has been retweeted. I had to turn the damn notifications off because my email was filling up with notifications that my stuff was being retweeted. It was the coolest thing I've seen in a long, long time. So that's it. You know, patriotjournalist.com. Go there and sign up. And while you're there, you know, send a tweet to Charlie Daniels and tell him to do us a solid. And follow American Refugee and Data Genesis hashtags. And by all means, also join a Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Okay, so we're back now to talking about replacing Roy. You know, something occurred to me this morning, and I both tweeted this and posted it, and it got quite a bit of discussion today, so I'm interested in how you feel about this. It occurred to me that we sit here and we talk trash about Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and I'm not sure that we can rightfully wag our finger at Nancy Pelosi, for example. I think it's likely, maybe even probable, that Nancy Pelosi is doing her job by representing her constituency faithfully. I mean, I find it likely that given her constituency out there in Fruitland, that she is fairly and accurately representing what they want when she says yes, yes to Obama. All the more reason we can and should wag our fingers at Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill. And here we're concentrating on Roy Blunt. Because they clearly are not representing their constituency. Now, we can't even talk about them like they were House members where we can say, well, we're not sure what's happening down there in the boot heel of Missouri. Maybe they love it down there. Or we can't even say, you know, but while we can't rightfully wag our finger at Nancy Pelosi because she probably is faithfully representing her constituency, we can say that here are two U.S. senators who represent the entire state of Missouri. And time after time after time, most recently last November, they were told by the citizens of the state of Missouri, hell no. And yet, look what happens. They both come out in favor of Obamacare. We're going to go to the busy phones right now, and we're going to take this caller. Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Hello,
caller, you're on.
Oh, I didn't think I'd be in the loop that quickly. Okay. I have posted on the website about using the 10th Amendment to establish a recall ballot for for the people who are not really representing us any longer. They seem to be representing the federal government, but they're not representing
right.
The states that they're supposed to. And the 10th Amendment allows for this. There's nowhere in the Constitution that forbids it, and therefore the 10th Amendment covers anything that the states wish to do and which is not covered in the federal Constitution. We can go ahead and establish that. And I know it may take a referendum vote or at first a petition vote, you know, to get it onto the ballot or whatever, or just establish that we can do that. And the state legislators can do that. And I know our state legislators are a little bit better on our side. They have been trying to get things done. But I was a little disappointed with when they didn't override Jay Nixon's vote on some of the recent legislation that was out there and didn't do too much. And we had some people that turned on it. They kept on saying that the supremacy clause in the Constitution would just knock out the knock out what we were going to nullify on the federal laws, which is not true. The Supremacy Clause only regards to the powers that are delegated to the federal government, and it is not a Supremacy Clause for everything. And,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that we could establish a recall election. It would take some grassroots work to do it, but I think it's something, it's at least a message that needs to be said.
First of all, caller, who are you and where are you from?
I'm Gareth, and just south of Marshfield, Missouri.
Oh, okay, close to me. I'm over here in Springfield. Anyway, yeah, Garrett, the problem, though, isn't the U.S. Constitution and the 10th Amendment. The problem is that the Missouri State Constitution has to govern all elections, and there is no provision in our state constitution that allows us to do that. Now, there are 11 states currently that have that in their constitution, but we are not one of those 11. Oh, I'm losing you, Garrett. Come on back.
No, I'm saying that shouldn't be anything that stops us. It is, you know, just because it isn't part of our contract or our constitution doesn't mean that it can't be.
I agree. And there are, as I was saying earlier, there are separately from this Replace Roy thing, which is a primary Roy out group. From that, there are grassroots organizations right now working on initiatives, both by petition and to try to get some legislators to sponsor them directly, that would amend the Constitution to make that happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And, if they want to talk about common sense this and common sense that, you know, this is politically common sense. It's common sense for the people, something that the people can get behind.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Nowadays, we've just been had too many politicians behaving badly.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah. And
I'm not.
When
I'm
you
not.
And I get,
go ahead.
When you and I get in trouble, there's an immediate consequence for that.
That's right.
When politicians get in trouble. Maybe we'll talk about it in 2016,
That's exactly what I was saying earlier in the show. You know, Roy is counting on the law of recency, which is by the time 2016 comes around, you've forgotten about what happened yesterday.
Nah, but, you know, I mean, you can't go on your website saying, hey, I'm against Obamacare, I'm going to do everything in my power to get rid of it, and yada, 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 and then vote for it.
You're absolutely right.
That's not even flip-flopping. That's doing aerial dives, you know.
It's blatantly lying is what it is, and he's becoming very good at it, which may lend some credibility to someone's notion that he's not going to seek re-election. But we'll see. We're going to have a candidate ready to either primary him out or replace him with. And we are, Garrett, working, several groups are working on this initiative petition to make a recall in Missouri a real thing, both for federal legislators and for state legislators. Many
right.
people are disappointed with their state legislator, like you said, from a legislature that should be veto-proof but turns out to be quite impotent when it comes to standing up for what the people want.
Right.
Thanks for the call, Garrett. That was great. I appreciate hearing from you. And thanks for listening, too. Good night, sir.
You take care.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next caller. Hey, who's this?
Hi. Am I on the air?
You are, sir.
Hi. This is Rick Perry from MCC. I didn't catch the first part
Rick,
of the show.
Hey, Rick, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm sorry I missed the first part. I was coming home and I couldn't get you on my call phone, so I got home and on the cell phone. Are we gone past just trying to replace him? Are we now trying to recall him? Or
there's been a lot of talk about that. As this Replace Roy group is growing explosively, there are a lot of people coming there who get the feeling that this is a recall initiative, and of course it's not. It's a primary Roy out initiative, but there have been a lot of discussion today about whether you could or couldn't do that. And of course, Missouri's Constitution has no way to make that happen. We're working on making that a part of the Constitution in the next session. We'll see how that goes, but that's a separate thing than what's going on here in Replace Roy.
Absolutely. I think it's a good idea that we work on it, but I don't know that we want to recall Blunt. I didn't actually anticipate talking about this, but I can lend some experience on this. I was in California when Gray Davis was recalled, and of course Schwarzenegger had become the governor. He wasn't all that much better. He was just a little bit more presentable. And believe it or not, Schwarzkopf double-crossed the Republican Party when he went on, I think it was the Jay Leno show or one of the night shows, to call for a recall. He was actually supposed to introduce or recommend or endorse Richard Reynolds, who was the former Republican mayor of Los Angeles. But someplace between his meeting with Richard and his television appearance, he decided that he was going to run himself.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you.
I'm not
convinced that a recall would be the answer right now, because there's no time. I mean, this is what the beauty of this whole Replace Roy thing is. We've got 4 years, which listen, folks, is an extremely short period of time when you talk about accomplishing what we hope to accomplish here. I mean, we're talking about finding a name recognized candidate, getting the state behind him, and overcoming an entrenched, powerful money maker. It's not an easy job, even at that, but it certainly is the better route in my mind, Rick, than a recall, which leaves you immediately grasping for something out there in the dark.
Exactly, and that's what we've just gone through in the last two Senate races. Kit Bond did not give us enough time when he decided he was not going to run for re-election, and he pretty much handpicked Roy Blunt. And actually, a lot of conservatives, including myself, in the last election, really thought Jim Talent was going to come back and challenge Claire McCaskill for his old seat.
Right.
And he decided, like 10 or 11 months before the election, that he wasn't going to seek re-election. So we had a scramble, and nobody really knew, originally who they wanted to support.
Yeah,
and
then you got
losing that.
Then you got the Emerson dump there at the. Was it
on the that's Emerson was congressional, where Parker tried to take out Emerson.
Yeah, exactly, and then she jumped out at the.
Yeah.
And left us
right,
and left us stuck again. Right. Rick, you know as well as I do that these things are by plan. These people didn't just wake up one day and said, okay, I'm going to screw the voters of Missouri. You know, Bond had Blunt already picked, and that's why he did it the way he did it. Emerson had her tailor-made person already picked, and it just goes that way.
So it's our turn now to take our time and patience and pick someone that we are going to primary Roy Blunt with.
That's absolutely right. Rick, hang on with me while I take this next caller, will you?
I'll do it, yes.
All right. Hey, who's this? Hello, caller. You're not coming through, caller. Hello?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh, you don't want to play?
I already did.
Oh, okay. Okay. That Garrett again?
Yeah, Garrett.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Garrett. I'm gonna put you in the listening mode again. All right.
So,
Rick,
has come up or any recommendations? No,
I was talking about that just a minute ago. I think, and there was a lot of talk about that today. This Replace Roy Facebook group, which started about a year ago and sat there stagnant for a while, of course, in the last 48 hours has exploded. I mean, people are flocking in. They're getting new members by the tens per minute over there, and And that's why I went ahead and dedicated this show to that. And there was a lot of talk there today, you know, about, okay, we need to recruit this person, or we need to recruit that that person, or we need to draft that person. And my thinking on that, Rick, is that's not going to work. I mean, you're going to have a person, hopefully and maybe Republican, but who's willing to say, you know, I'm a patriot first, I'm an American first, and I'm a Republican second or third, because someone's going to have to step up to the plate, and you're not going to get this out of a draftee. Someone's going to have to step up to the plate with full recognition of the fact that win or lose, he or she is done with the Republican Party. I mean, you're talking about the next Ted Cruz here if we make this happen. This person is finished as far as the party is concerned, and you're not going to get that kind of thing out of a draftee or a recruit. I mean, someone is going to have to answer the call and step up to the plate and say, okay, that's me.
It's going to be a very big step for someone.
It is.
I know we can find him within the next 12 months anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be a career politician. Maybe it's better he's not. It could be an established businessman. There's going to have to be some name recognition going in with the short amount of time we have to work. But it doesn't have to be a politician. It doesn't. You know, I mean, some names have come up of businessmen throughout the state, people who have run unsuccessfully, but and through those unsuccessful runs have had some name recognition build
statewide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There've been some names come up, but I'm not going to say them. I'm not about drafting people. I'm not about recruiting people. If someone wants to step up to the plate and say, I'm the guy or I'm the lady, we'll do our job and thoroughly vet them. And if that's them, then now we have gotten just in the last 48 hours some very savvy fundraisers on board. So we're talking about establishing some PAC and getting some real money. And you know, Rick, I think that the real money for this thing can come from small businesses. They are being destroyed by Obamacare. And I just on our local talk radio today, there were two different small business guys who said, "No, we're not required to do it," and I don't know that we can, because we just got our next year's premiums down to cover our employees, and they've gone up 200%. You know, I mean, these
Everybody
people are being
that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's the small business guy who isn't being forced to do it, who's being put on the chopping block, who's going to be the evil guy who has to dump his employees because he can just no longer afford to do it and make a living.
Or support employees' and family. A lot of
absolutely
losing their money.
Absolutely. So I think a lot of money could be gathered from that group to make this happen. Roy, I mean, this is certainly not the only issue where Roy has shown himself to be less than friendly to small business.
Right. Well, my objection is twofold to Roy. He came when he was campaigning. He promised, you know, that he wouldn't continue his old habits as and he explained why he was that way as a representative and what he would do as a senator. And the very first thing he does, he goes into leadership. I mean, he's what is an assistant whip. He's been there 2 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
means he's working for McConnell. He's not working for Missouri.
He was the whip over the House.
And now, but he was in the House several years. Yeah, he was. Now,
he
gave it up, I think, the last 2 years he was in the House. But
right,
like you said before, I'm pretty sure he knew he was going to be running for senator and didn't want the negativity or the negative connotations that was going to be on the press. And he was pretty clean, so it freed him up. But already he's number four in the party, and he's not doing anything for Missouri.
That's
he
right.
He wouldn't even come to – did you go to CPAC on Saturday?
No, I didn't.
He didn't even bother to show up. You know, Mike Lee was there, but our senator wasn't there. Now, Ann Wagner wasn't there, but I understand why Ann wasn't there, because she was in the
House
and it was negotiating.
That's right.
And,
they were in session, right.
But the Senate wasn't. They was doing
that's
nothing,
right.
And he decided not to come, and – I thought that was a cowardly thing for him to do. I mean, if he's gonna vote that way, at least, and he's already scheduled, he had already confirmed and booked a time for him to speak, and then all of a sudden he didn't show. And actually, I went to his booth three or four times for his fundraisers, and they hadn't even heard from me. Nobody knew.
That does surprise me a bit. Yeah, yeah,
it is. Yeah, and I will think Todd Akin showed up. I take my hat off to him. I'm glad he showed. He wasn't a speaker,
good.
But we had some great speakers, and it was a fantastic thing. And I think Roy Blunt missed a terrific opportunity to represent himself, not to represent Missouri, but to represent himself and his vote and his. If he had a reason to vote the way he did, I think he could have explained it to all of us. And I would have been,
yeah.
I don't know if I would have believed him, but I would have been happy to hear, you know, his reasoning.
Uh-huh.
I do know here in St. Louis, he was on the Dana Lash show last week. I didn't listen to it, but then I heard 15 minutes after he was on, somebody from the Heritage Foundation was on and contradicted everything that Roy Blunt had just previously said.
Exactly.
So we really need to, you know, we really needed to hear from him. I don't want to take up the whole conversation. Was you going to say something there?
Oh, no, that's all right. Rick, what I think, no, please, I'm glad to have you. What I think is that the challenge right now is going to be, you know, what Roy Blunt is counting on, and it's worked for him in the past, is the law of recency. I mean, he is absolutely counting on the fact that 4 years from now, this is forgotten, and it's gonna take a lot of work just to keep this fire stoked. I mean,
I think he's mistaken in as much as he's forgetting. Speaking of the law of recency, I've turned it around. He's forgetting a lot of people voted for him that didn't want to vote for him because they really didn't want Robin Carnahan.
Yeah.
And they really didn't, you know, Ferguson didn't have Ferguson didn't have enough time and enough money to campaign against Roy, so he didn't really have any opposition in the primaries. And that's what he said to our group. He said, I know I'm maybe not your favorite, but I'm the only one you got. You know, it's either me or Robin. And we voted for him on that basis.
You know me, I'm anything but a conservative, and I'm anything but a Republican. I will work hard with the Republicans to primary Roy out, but if it's Roy against a Democrat, hell, I'm voting for the Democrat.
Well, you're a Christian, right?
Well, yeah, I am.
Okay, but the Bible says that the eye offends thee, pluck it out. It's better to lose your eyes than to lose the whole body. And he's offended us in Missouri, and he needs to be plucked out. I mean, otherwise, we'll
lose. So how are things over there at MOCC, Rick?
Actually, we're doing very well. We're individually active, as you know. That we're MOCC is a coalition of a lot of groups.
Right.
I have to say that every group is very, very active right now. Mike Skelton, as you know, is very heavy on the Agenda 21 project, and he's fighting as much as he can. And now I'm sure I seen the other day that he joined the new Facebook group to eliminate Roy Blunt.
Right.
Lot of people in a lot of grassroots groups. I mean, this is kind of, I'm really glad this issue is up now with Roy, because there's a lot of people in congressional areas, not only just Emerson's old area, but also Vicky Hartzler, that I'm hearing from our members of small, you know, the other groups, that they want to run against her in the primary. They're not really happy with the representation that they got after they made the commitment to elect these people and spend the money and send them to office. They're not seeing what they expected. So not only is Roy going to have a problem in 2012, I think to a considerably lesser degree, there's going to be some primary races in next year.
In 2014, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I'm certainly over here in this end of the state. I'm certainly once again going to be working hard to get Billy Long out of there. He's been a real disappointment.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. We heard that also last year at the Common Cause rally.
Right.
I think we'll have another one next month. And I forget the gentleman's name that was running against Billy, but he was very articulate and very determined and had a very good grasp of what was wrong with
Mike Moon, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and,
Mike Moon, who's currently sitting in Jeff City. He, remember,
so he's not,
yeah, there was a special. Oh, he might. He might. He might well. And in fact, I think that he ran in a special election to replace he ran in a special election to replace someone who, for some reason or other, didn't finish his term, and he ended up in Jeff City, which I think was a wise move because, again, what hurt Mike was name recognition. I went down the day he announced and met him on the courthouse steps, and until then, I'd never heard of him. He just kind of appeared out of nowhere. We had him on the show several times and talked to him. I liked him a lot. I've talked to him several times since then at a meeting last week, most recently. I think he could be good to go again.
I think so. I would like my friend Mark Mueller to challenge Vicki Hartzler. He doesn't have another TV show next year. I'm not sure what the status is there, but I mean, he's very popular in that area. He's got name recognition right. and money, and he's a good, strong conservative.
Yes.
That might be a primary race. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. 2014 will be very interesting. I don't get off too far off the subject here. I'm kind of disappointed what I'm hearing about the House is going to go back and resubmit the bill today without the removal of the individual mandates,
right?
But with removal of all waivers, I was kind of hoping for that they would be out a few days, but they would all get together and actually negotiate both issues coming up. What I would have liked to see is the compromise of the thing to be presented after about a week is one the CR. Be passed until January 1st, the medical equipment tax eliminated completely, the individual mandate set back until January 1st of 2015, along with, but we'll give Obama the debt ceiling increase until January 1915 after the next election. That would be they get two things that they want, and we get two things that we want, and we won't have any economical or any financial crisis from Congress for the next 15 months, and maybe the stock market could catch wind and with another 3 or 4 months of QE4 or QE3, whatever experience, maybe have some growth here in the economy.
But yeah,
I'm afraid the government's going to choke us off again for another 3 months. What do you think about that?
I hope so. We talked about this at length here in the last hour, but
I'm sorry.
But no, that's all right. I'm glad to talk with you about it because I certainly respect your opinion and would like to discuss it with you. Here's what I tell people. The government has a monthly income of $200 billion, and when we service the debt. And when we pay for the Department of Defense, we've spent about $105 billion of that. So there is ample money left without borrowing to pay for everything that has to be paid for. I mean, you can add Grandma's Social Security check and Little Johnny's Medicaid flu shot on there and not spend a quarter of the $90 billion you have left.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens at that point is, you've got something analogous to people sitting around the table with a little bit of surplus after they pay the mortgage and buy the kids' groceries and saying, okay, is it a trip to Disneyland or is it a second car or is it 3 nights out a week and a babysitter? And what I tell people is, if that time comes and we've said no more borrowing and suddenly the VA hospital closes, but Barack Obama keeps his $105,000 a year dog handler and keeps his vacation and Big Bird still flies, someone made that choice, and that's only because someone chose it that way. There is. I'm of the opinion, and I'm not an economist, I don't know the ins and outs of every little number, but I am of the opinion that we could do what we have to do to service the debt and protect this country, and still with $400 billion a month income stream, take care of everything that is important.
Absolutely. It's and I don't. I would like to know a list of all the senators that vote to give. And I know she's a widow, but Senator Lautenberg's wife is going to get $174,000 of the taxpayers' money.
Yep.
Now, if she was, you know, poor, and if it was an insurance policy, and if she really needed it to help support herself, then I could almost see. I'm not really for it because it's not their money to give away; it's our money.
That's right.
But Lautenberg was a. They're multimillionaires. They don't need it. It's not even. It's just, you know. It's not, you know, they're taking people. They're taking money away from them. I'm not going to be silly enough to say people to make under $40,000, you know, because they're not paying much taxes anyway. But people like you and me who paying, you know, enough tax anyway, they're taking money from us and giving it to the wife of the widow of a multimillionaire. That's,
yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. You know, that's like the. I don't know if you've heard of the story. I think I heard it from Paul. Kirkman the first time, but I've heard it several times since then. When Davy Crockett returned to his congressional district, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the story. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Go ahead and say it.
He was asking one of his citizens if they was going to vote for him. He said, no, I said, I'm not. He said, why? I've done this for you, and I've done that for you, and I've done this for you. He said, well, you voted to give $2,500 to a widow, and I didn't think that was necessary. What do you mean? That was. I thought that was a good thing to do. He said, "Was if you want to give him your money, do it. But that's not your money to give. That's our money, you know. And that's what they're doing. They're taking money away from us, and give it to people that you know this cylinder deal that this guy, the chief EEO and the former stockholder of Cylindra, was a multi-billionaire that bundled." Millions of dollars for Obama's election, and the first thing he did in stimulus money was pay that all back in $500 million loan that he knew was bogus. That's
yep.
not his money to give away.
Half a trillion dollars. Yeah.
Was it half a trillion? Okay, it's even worse than I thought.
$500 billion. Yeah.
And it was just, you know, what are they doing? I mean, this is not, how do we, you know, it's if they, you know, it's ridiculous. And we send people like Roy Blunt that say that, you know, we'll fight. I'll fight for you and I'll do this and I'll do that. And he goes up and gets in bed with McConnell.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's not satisfied with him either. I mean, it's just if you know, if he was going to get in bed with somebody, why didn't he get in bed with the other one, Rand Paul? Why do you have to get in bed with the rhino? You know, that's
yep.
it's just not protective. We're not getting, you know, well, I have no economics professor, you appreciate this. He said, I'm thankful we're not getting all the government we're paying for. Well, that's true, too.
That's right. Okay, Rick, we're gonna move on now. I'm up against a break, and I appreciate
okay.
you calling. It's always great. Hey, call it more often. It's always great to hear from you, man.
And good luck. Thank you very much, David.
Thanks.
It's a great show. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. All right, like I say, I'm up against a break. I'm going to get this thing done, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about replacing Roy. And this isn't a recall. This is a primary, and so we're going to move on.
Survivor's hands appear too small. Be thankful I don't take it all.
You make under $250,000. You will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
It specifically said that it is not constitutional under the Commerce Clause. They said it is constitutional under the tax. And as to the question about raising taxes for the middle class, if I may, sir, let's just look at the record. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that in 2016, 4 million Americans will pay the mandate penalty or tax. 75% of those people will make less than $120,000 a year. And the CBO says between 2012 and 2021, those folks will pay $27 billion in additional taxes.
'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families, and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the household, then we start making better investments.
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
It makes me laugh at myself every time I back up that Melissa Harris Perry kids belong to everybody with that bumper about the people talking that ain't got no brains. Okay, we're going to have a very short segment here where I take this time to put a plug in for the rest of the hosts through the week. This has been the Hour of Truth. It's usually the Article 5 Hour. If you tuned in for the Article 5 Hour, you heard us say early that we were supplanting that this week at least, and maybe next week with this Replace Roy thing. And then if that all turns out okay, if we get some followership on this, then we're going to package the Replace Roy Hour into a permanent thing and move it to Thursday night. If not, we'll just drop it and get back to Article 5. But either way, we'll, by at least the second week from now, we'll be back to the Article 5 show on Monday nights. Tuesday night, what a treat. Cynthia Davis comes along with Homefront. Cynthia gets the best guests. I'm telling you, these are shows you don't want to miss. And Cynthia herself is a hoot. So, if you've heard Cynthia do anything, it's a great show. Wednesday night, if it could get better, it would on Wednesdays. Along comes Lisa Payne Nager with the Culture Vigilante. Lisa is a stick of dynamite. Man, you have got to catch these Wednesday night shows. That's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, the Culture Vigilante. A lot of talk about education, DESE, homeschooling. A lot of talk about the culture. A lot of talk about Common Core. A lot of talk about Agenda 21, and a lot of talk about some of the craziness that goes on in the Missouri legislature. There is 2 hours of bring a pencil and paper, because there is 2 hours right there on Wednesday night from 7 to 9 packed with information from 14 or 15 different quarters. That's Lisa Payne Nager, the Culture Vigilante on Wednesday night. Saturday, I'm back with the Fair Tax Show. That's been a really interesting show. It's starting to develop. The last couple of weeks have been really fun. We've taken some critics on head-to-head, and surprise, we win every time. Because the fair tax is the only tax that's ever been discussed that's, well, fair. It's that simple. We've got critics who come along and the favorite tactic, of course, is to take the word fair and totally redefine it into something that, if it makes me feel good, it must be fair. But as we continue to reiterate, as we continue to prove, and as we continue to show, that ain't what fair is about. And so it's the Fair Tax Show on Saturday night. Next Monday, as I said, we're gonna package this Replace Roy thing one more time and try to make it fly. And then the week after that, on Monday, we're back with the Article 5 show, talking about urgently needing the Missouri Patriots to push our legislature into demanding a state amendment convention from these jerks in Washington, D.C. They're not going to do it. So if it's going to be done, we're going to have to do it. You heard a call earlier to get your group together and to join Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I had a push earlier for this these two guys at patriotjournalist.com. If you've missed any of the first part of the show, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org tomorrow morning and catch the podcast. It's been a good show, but unfortunately for you, and really unfortunately for me, it's been mostly me. I reiterate again that I'm incredibly disappointed. As much traction as this Replace Roy social group has picked up in the last 48 hours, really disappointed that we didn't have more even than we had tonight coming along. Thanks to our callers, Garrett from Marshfield and Rick Perry from MOCC, who did call to participate and to give us their thoughts. Excellent stuff. We're gonna take our last break right now, and then I'm gonna come back and we're gonna do a quick wrap on tonight's show. If you want to get involved, it's 347-677-1835.
His life so dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
All right, here we are. A couple of things to wrap up. Putting on a show like this isn't incredibly expensive, but it ain't free either. If you'd be interested in advertising on Missouri Grassroots Radio, drop us a line at MissouriGrassrootsRadio.org. That's info, I-N-F-O, at MissouriGrassrootsRadio.org. We need you to keep this thing moving. Our advertising rates are ridiculously low. Our listenership is increasing. And really, I mean, if for no other reason than to do a little bitty part of keeping the Patriot movement going, think about taking out an ad on Missouri Grassroots Radio. That last promo that we did, I make a personal appeal for that every week, twice a week, in fact. There's only one thing where there's no dues to be in Missouri Grassroots Coalition. There's no cost. We don't solicit funds for anything or anybody. If you advertise for this radio show, every dime you spend on that advertising goes to fund this radio show, and nobody here gets a salary. We pay for the airtime, and that's it. But what I'm getting at when I say that is the only thing that we beg you for money for all year long is the Secret Santa. Everything else that we do, any pamphlets we create and hand out, any bumper stickers, any cost associated with this, the executive committee of MGC reaches into their pockets and takes out. We only ask money for one thing, and that's the Secret Santa. Every year has been more and more successful in the Secret Santa thing, and I'm going to tell you, we're a little behind this year. I'm concerned that we're not going to quite hit our goal this year. Every penny sent in, every penny and a little bit more that we reach in and take out of our own pockets, and I'm not saying that we contribute phenomenal amounts. None of us are Glenn Beck. A dollar here and a dollar there just to go over enough to make sure that we keep our promise to you that every penny is spent for the cause, for the toys, for kids, for Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Do it right now. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org while you're listening. Up there in the top right, you see the Secret Santa button. It's a tab on the top right menu, Secret Santa. Click on that. Read a little bit about it if you want to, but whatever you do while you're there, click on the PayPal button and send us a couple of bucks. $5, $10, $100 would be great. That's fine. I say we're a little bit behind this year. Now, we start this thing in February every year because we do know from our own experience how hard it is to cough up money in November and December. So we don't want to, we'll take your money in November, December. I'll be here begging for you, for your money on December 20th. Don't get me wrong. But we do get that, there's your kettles, there's your trees, there's your food harvest, there's your toys for tots, there's your own family at Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything in between, and we get it. So we start trying to convince you to send us a couple of bucks way back in February. It's coming down to crunch time now. We're a little bit under target. So please do it. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button. Click on the PayPal button and send us a few bucks. You can contact with any questions about joining, with any desires, with any comments, me, David Court at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. That's Court without a U. You can just get some info by going to info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can follow Missouri Grassroots Coalition on Twitter. You can join us on Facebook, Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Get in on this Replace Roy Blunt page at Facebook. A lot of chat going on there. A lot of people getting on that bandwagon. We got to keep that alive. We got to keep that moving. We got to keep that steam up. And by all means, if you want to communicate with me, you can follow me on Facebook or at Twitter. By my name. If you don't know that by now, then don't follow me. I've said it 100 times tonight. That's it tonight. We're going to be back next week with another edition of Replace Roy Blunt. And at that point, we'll make a decision about whether this is going to be a forever thing. We love you all. We appreciate you. We need you. And we'll talk to you.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.